I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I think it's a really, really valuable, important, good thing to constantly be thinking about what you're thinking about and to be questioning the accuracy / validity of your thinking. I think that our feelings are one thing. We just have them. Our body feels the thing, and then we have the ability to choose if we're going to act on that. And it is our thinking and the processing of that, that I think hopefully will determine whether or not we make a good decision based on the way that we feel about things or that we don't. And I don't know if it's obvious, but sort of obviously, we think that the way we do things is better than the way that we're not. And if that's not the case, then why are you doing things the way that you're doing them if you don't think that it's the correct, proper, right way to be doing things? Okay, so the way that I've chosen to live my life, I believe to be correct, proper, optimal. That's probably the right term for it. And, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it is. And as a parent, I've been thinking a lot about, well, just because I chose the path that I did doesn't mean that it's, number one, the right path. And it certainly doesn't mean that it's going to be the right path for my kids. And I certainly want them to make their own way and to make their own decisions. And we just want to position people for success. And we're living in the context and we're living in the time that we're living in with the benefit of hindsight. So we have the world's knowledge at our fingertips and information and wisdom, and we can pay attention to history, which is of value so that we don't make the same mistakes that other people made before us. And we're standing on the shoulders of giants. And this is true of every aspect of our lives, from the work that we're doing to the ideas that we're having and building upon previous thinkers and previous technologies, and to be able to bring new technologies to bear. So I ramble on here simply to try to frame this, that where we are today is a long ways from when the country was founded. And the principles that the country was founded on, I believe, are as true today because they are enduring, timeless principles. But do they still match up to who we are as Americans and who we want to be as Americans? And that's something I've been thinking a lot about. And I encourage you to also be thinking a lot about. So what does it mean to be an American? What are some of those principles that got us to where we are? And are those still the principles that will get us to where it is that we want to go? Probably all familiar with that line that says, what got you here is going to get you where you want to go. It certainly might. And or what got you here, what got you to a place in time and life that made you successful and then we abandon it or sort of forget about it, does it make sense to revisit and to go back? Human beings, and I believe that the thing that really animates me is my desire to realize my potential. And so it's my desire to constantly strive for self-improvement and to get better. And in a lot of ways, that is extremely progressive, right? That's what progressivism is I want to continue to progress. And from a conservative perspective, there's just so much wisdom in not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, in recognizing that what our founding principles, what makes for a rich and robust and happy life, there's still a lot of truth to all of those. So how do we reconcile that? How do we square the circle? And that is what I wanted to talk a little bit about today. And specifically, I want to talk about personal liberty. And I want to talk about rugged individualism and then square that against changing times. So what is personal liberty? Do you know what personal liberty is just off the top of your head? It's our freedom to think, act, and live the way that we want without interference from the government or other authorities. It's my right to make choices, to make my own choices, so long as they're not harming other people. So I have the ability to think whatever I want. I have the ability to speak whatever I want. There's a lot of conversations going on right now about the importance of free speech. And this is something that's being challenged, which, fine. If after thinking it all the way through, you still feel as though there should be limits on your ability to speak and express yourself, then that's your opinion. I'm of the mind that this is an absolute that we must hang on to. So you can hold your own beliefs, you can express your opinions and debate ideas without fear of punishment. That seems to me like an obvious thing. That seems to me that if we lose that, we're in a world of hurt and bad things will happen. My opinion. Freedom of action. I have the ability to make personal decisions about my career, my religion, my lifestyle, how long I have my hair, without coercion. I think that that's important too. Yet we just came out of a time where we threw that out, where a lot of people threw that out and said, nope, you don't have the ability to decide to do this thing or to not. You're going to do it. We've decided for you and we're going to compel/coerce you with the weapon being you'll lose your career, you'll lose your ability to be in polite society. Okay? I don't think that that's a good thing. Economic liberty, I have the right to own my property, I have the right to work and engage in business the way that I see fit, so long as I'm not running over people or polluting the rivers and all that stuff, which I think is pretty obvious. But I think that that's a good thing too. All right. So that's what liberty is. Rugged individualism, it's a term that doesn't show up very much anymore, but it is a term that describes the idea that individuals should be self-reliant and independent without relying too much on assistance from government or outside help. So it puts personal responsibility, hard work, and the ability to overcome challenges at the top of the heap. And I think that that defines me in a lot of ways. I'm happy to refer to myself and to identify as a rugged individual. I think I'm all for that. So it was used by President Hoover in the 20s to promote the idea that Americans should depend on their own efforts rather than expecting the government to do it. So it was big during the Great Depression. So during that time and during all times, it's better to be autonomous. It's better to be as strong as you possibly can be and to be as self-sufficient as you possibly can be. I mean, that's something that COVID really reinforced for me, is that I need to be stronger. I need to be physically stronger, mentally stronger, emotionally stronger, financially stronger, so I can stand on my own 2 feet and not have to worry about anybody or anything else. What do you think about that?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So, rugged individualism turns out that it is pretty uniquely American. Think about back in the day when we were moving from east to west and we had the frontier and settlers had to rely on themselves, obviously, as they made their way into foreign unknown territory and dealt with everything that sort of went along with that. We have obviously always been pretty suspicious of government. We left London, or England rather, and started our own country because we wanted people to mind their own business. And of course, capitalism and free market thinking, the idea of entrepreneurship and self-made men and women and success and be able to compete in the market, the open free market, like it's nothing but a good thing. So Jefferson was a major, major believer in individual liberty and self-sufficiency. He believed in natural rights. He believed in limited government. So I think that you can certainly, and it's pretty obvious, you can trace this idea of rugged individualism from having the courage to get on a boat and come to the New World, creating settlements and then pushing west into those frontier days and everything that we have ever done, I think is celebratory of rugged individualism. But is that still the case? Do we still want that? Do we still want that? In a lot of ways, Obama was a wonderful president. He was a statesman, and he comported himself in a way that was very presidential, and he was funny, and he's a young guy. But there are also a lot of things that I disliked about him immensely. And whether it was taken out of context or not, just he made that one gaffe or on a statement. I'm not in the man's heart. I don't know. Talking about if you built a business, you didn't build it on your own. There are so many other things that it's not yours. You didn't do it. And we all sort of looked at him kind of sideways at that one, saying, well, even if you think that, you really ought not to say it, but I'm glad that you're saying it. And very recently, Michelle Obama, and they're obviously different people, but I think that they share the same philosophies. She was talking about how important the government was, and she said, literally said, the government does so much for us. And I hear that, I'm like, listen, the government doesn't do anything for me. I'm sure it does. I'm using hyperbole, obviously, but it doesn't do anything for me. Very, 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 very little. And that's what I want. That's what I want the government to do very little. I want the government to be there to protect my individual rights. I want the government to be there in case I need the police, in case I need fire department, in case I need serious help. That's what I want the government to step in. The majority of the time, other than that, no thanks. But I do believe, and I wonder what percentage of people really believe that today. Where we've moved away from one end of the spectrum being rugged individualism to the other being, I need somebody to care for me. I do believe the government does everything for me and does so much for me, and I'm reliant on the government. Moving from self-reliance and rugged individualism to the opposite of that. I am a, what's the opposite of rugged? I am an incredibly refined collectivist. I don't know if I got that one right, but you got the idea. So enter H.L. Mencken. And H.L. Mencken wrote, "The average man does not want to be free. He simply wants to be safe." Okay. So the opposite of what Jefferson is talking about to H.L. Mencken. The average man does not want to be free. He simply wants to be safe. So it challenges the idea of rugged individualism that most people prefer security over freedom. So Mencken suggests that the average person isn't really looking for total freedom. They want stability, security, and predictability. Is this a function of, I just want to, you know, go put in my time at work and then come home and put some delicious food in the microwave or have it delivered to my house? Probably. That's probably what it is. Get some DoorDash and then Netflix and chill. Maybe get high and play some video games and go to sleep and wake up and do it all over again. Now, there's a lot of things that I said right there that are very good. I think that there's a lot of good things there. But you understand that what I'm saying is it's the opposite of being a rugged individual and getting into our stagecoach and heading west into the unknown is very different from me doing my 9-to-5 and being a couch potato, right? Not to say that sometimes I don't like to be a couch potato, but it's very, 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 very rare. So what do you think? So in the Great Depression, we talked about Hoover being really committed to the idea of rugged individualism. But then people demanded some intervention, which led to the New Deal. So FDR's New Deal. Okay. What about 9/11? After 9/11, many of us, without probably knowing the full extent of it, accepted the restrictions of privacy through the form of the Patriot Act and TSA at airports and all that stuff. What else? What about COVID-19? Government lockdowns. So many people complied with it, prioritizing what we perceived to be health and stability over personal freedoms. So it's tough. So much tension between freedom and security. And it's always has been. Always has been. The whole Mencken thing that most people just want to be safe suggests that most people don't want full freedom because what it comes with responsibility, uncertainty, and hardship. And most people would simply rather trade their freedom so that they don't have to worry about being responsible. So they have more certainty and things are easy and comfortable. I think that is a pretty good reflection of the current state of play here. And what our founders would say to that, looking at us today, Benjamin Franklin famously said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. So there you go. There you go. There's a lot going on here. And I already covered some of this stuff, but I think that any time that we have a crisis, be it economic, be it national security, be it a health emergency, so Great Depression, 9/11, COVID-19, there's a lot of people, and I don't know what that number is, who either accept, demand, run right into government control. So are these temporary sacrifices of liberty, or do they set a precedent where people get used to giving away their freedom? What do you think? Do those does it make sense to trade your liberty and your freedom? I think that the answer is no. But privacy and security in post 9/11, right around 2011, they did a survey that found that 40% of Americans believe that in order to curb terrorism, it's necessary for the average person to give up some civil liberties. 54% disagreed. So I imagine that that left the remaining 6% as just not quite sure. In 2024, a poll indicated that 74% of Americans worry that the country could lose freedoms if not careful, suggesting a heightened concern for personal liberties. So this is everything kind of goes through different pendulum swings and we go back and forth. So very recently, 3/4 of Americans are worried that if we're not careful, we're going to lose freedoms. We're going to lose liberty. What about trust in government? So obviously, if I'm going to hand over my freedom and my liberty to the government in exchange, theoretically speaking, for these freedoms, what do people think about that today? So in 2024, 35% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents trust for the federal government just about always or most of the time. So 35% of the government's Democrats trust the government. Only 11% of Republicans and people that lean more Republican trust the government. What about perception of government threats to personal life, personal rights rather? January of 13, 53% of Americans felt that the federal government threatened their personal rights and freedoms, while 43% disagreed. What about the First Amendment? In 2024, 53% of Americans believe the First Amendment goes too far in protecting rights, indicating a significant portion of the population may be open to limiting certain freedoms. I think that that's frightening. I think that that's a frightening thing, that over half of Americans believe the First Amendment goes too far in protecting rights. And, you know, I really believe that that is simply a function of people are kind and caring, and they don't want... They feel like it's not okay for people to be mean, mean-spirited, or hateful, hate speech. And I certainly agree with that. But I don't think that, I think that if we thought it all the way through and got to the point where, well, either we're going to accept some hurt feelings because we believe that the ability to speak freely is of greater value, that's my take on it. Got to crack some eggs to make an omelet kind of a thing. So hurt feelings versus I want the ability to say whatever I want kind of comes down to, or part of it certainly comes down to that. 2021 Pew Research Center survey found that 9% of respondents mentioned freedom, independence, and self-determination as sources of meaning in life, an increase from 5%. Wow. That's pretty startling right there. 2021 Pew Research found that 9% of respondents mentioned freedom, independence, and self-determination as sources of meaning in life, but up from 5% in 2017. So,
the number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Certainly a lot of people here in the United States, a lot of Americans who value personal liberty, but there's also a lot of people who support certain government controls, especially when we believe or perceive those controls to be necessary for security and societal well-being. And it's always going to be fluctuating and changing based on what's going on. Here's a couple of quotes which were true back when they were quoted, or rather said, and are certainly true today. Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. Thomas Jefferson, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. You always got to stand watch, buddy. Liberty means responsibility. That is why most men dread it. George Bernard Shaw. That's a powerful one right there I want to spend some time on. He's asserting that true freedom is not simply the absence of restraint. It's also closely tied to responsibility and being responsibility to make decisions and then face the consequences of decisions and to do all of those things while taking into consideration other people. And that's hard. Responsibility is hard. But that only 9% of human beings today, or Americans rather, think that responsibility and freedom is what gives us meaning. I would argue, and Jordan Peterson would argue, that responsibility and finding meaning in responsibility is the entire game. It's all of it. Because if you're just responsible for something and you don't find any meaning in it, well, then it's just a pain in the ass. Then it's, my kids wanted a dog, but I have to clean up after it. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're not thinking about or looking at freedom as a valuable thing. If we were, then more than 9% of people would believe that they find meaning in it. Liberty requires personal responsibility and accountability. In fact, that's absolute table stakes for it. In a free society, individuals are not controlled or guided by an authoritarian force. We're free to choose our own actions, but we bear the burden of those choices. So I get it. So why is that a scary thing? Why do people dislike that? Well, there's a fear of consequences. So when you're free, along with that comes the knowledge that if things go wrong, you're responsible for the outcomes. And there's a lot of people out there, probably more people than probably the majority would rather have security just because it removes the need to make those hard decisions, which I think is kind of sad. I think that that's a sad thing. And you could also see freedom being an overwhelming thing because you just have all the options. So again, you are tasked with making the right decision, going down the right path. And I think a lot of people would just prefer to be told where to go, what time to be there, what to do while you're there, and when you can go home. And then to simply open up Netflix and whatever is suggested for them, then they watch. And then on top of that, we have social responsibility, because with individual liberty, it's not just us, because what I do has an impact on the people around me, my immediate family, my loved ones, but also my community and my town, my neighborhood, all these things. So there's a burden to that. There's no doubt about that. So there's political freedom, there's economic freedom, there's social freedom, so many different things. And I think that you can think about it, this is like a tightrope walk, that the greater freedom you have, the more need you have to be responsible for your choices. With great responsibility comes great freedom. With great responsibility comes great power. With great power comes great responsibility, all that kind of stuff. And I am used to, professionally as an entrepreneur, to operate without a safety net, and have been for my entire adult life. And if you've never done that, then the idea of that is probably terrifying to you. First and foremost, you don't understand how to do it, so you lack a literacy or a know-how, and then how would you even get started? So I certainly understand that. So that quote by Shaw simply highlights the complexity of freedom. It's not just about being free from control, but it's also about being responsible for our choices and our consequences. So making liberty both a privilege and a burden. It's a double-edged sword, like everything in life. Everything has an equal and an opposite, a yin and a yang. So what do you think? What do you think? Certainly our country demands, up until this point, that more people value liberty, that more people value freedom than the opposite. Our country being successful and continue to be successful demands that we have people that embrace personal responsibility versus abdicating responsibility. All that being said, I believe that it is morning in America. which Ronald Reagan famously said in 1984. And it is my belief that we are at a stage in our country where we are getting shaken up. We are coming to the realization that things are not necessarily as they seem. We're coming to the realization that there is a lot more going on than we were led to believe and that we realized, and that we are not necessarily ready to tap out, and that we're not going to lay down and give up our freedoms in the name of security. We're not going to let somebody else control us. We are interested in the pursuit of the American dream. We are interested in being rugged individuals, and we embrace the principles and the spirit of all the people that were there doing it before we had the opportunity to do it here. If it's to be, it's up to me. I have an internal locus of control, believing that I have influence over different aspects of my life. Certainly appreciate that I have very little control over many of the circumstances of my life, but I have absolute control over how I think, feel, and respond to those circumstances. And I think it's incumbent upon you and I to be paying close attention to all of this and to realize that freedom is, in fact, not free. So, love to hear what you have to say about this and what you think. As always, do your part by doing your best.